Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Good evening, everyone. Oh, it's awesome to share the word with you tonight. I actually really feel excited about this evening, as I felt like I experienced like personal revival as I was preparing for this message. It really got me stirred up, so I'm really excited to share this word with you tonight. So it's going to be all about receiving by grace. So all about, you know, the concept of we're saved through by grace through faith. So I want to touch on that mainly today. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Colossians 2 verse 6, it's going to be my first scripture. So it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." And in the Living Bible it says, "And now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with him." And verse 7 is also pretty good. "Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done." So I thought that was really awesome. I love how it says in verse 6, that just as you believed in Christ to save you, so also trust in him to save you in everyday's problems, so that it's not just like not just salvation, but also for like if you have problems in finance or healing or all of that. So that's really like that's what I want to talk about. So if we turn over to Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So that's a scripture that's often used for outreach. So it's like when we want to touch people's lives and we go out on outreach, so we say, "Oh, God loves you so much." So it's with a, like, even, you know, while you're still stuck in stupidity, like, God still loves you. Like, it doesn't matter what you do, like, God loves you. And we also use that scripture a lot when we were up in Zimbabwe. Like, that was one of the key scriptures that we used when we were out on outreaches. It's like we just shared with people the love of God. But I find it interesting that it's more for us now that we're saved, it's almost harder sometimes to stay in the love of God, to really receive the love of God, I think we really need to realize that we're so much more loved now that we're in God's family than even before. Like God, it's not less now that we're part of God's family, you know, that God like raised the bar and suddenly it's kind of we have to live up to a certain standard. Like it says in verse 9, when we go on to verse 9, it says, "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." In verse 10, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." So I love that how he just puts out, it's much more now. There's no comparison to what happened before. Like, it's much more now. There's no sense, you can't even compare the old to the new, what we now have in Christ. So that's really what I want to look at this evening, that we're saved by grace, and that's in every area of your life. So it's all by grace through faith. It's got nothing to do with your performance. And I think this truth just really needs to be so established in our hearts so that we, you know, God always wants to enjoy relationship with us. But if our hearts aren't established in grace, if we're not like really rooted and grounded in grace, grace, then it's like hard from our side sometimes to come to God and enjoy relationship with Him, because our like conscience easily like condemns us sometimes. So we think, oh, mess up, done that, so now God can't love me anymore. So it's on our part that's kind of that separates us from the love of God sometimes, if I can put it that way. So you know, it says in Romans 8, just turn there quickly, but it says in verse 38 to 39, it says, "For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things, nor present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this clearly shows us that from God's side, nothing can separate us from His love, but in our mind, we easily let ourselves be kind of separated, if you get what I mean. Like, it's sometimes harder to receive. Like, so that's just why we need to believe in grace, like, in every circumstance, no matter what we've done. So it's like, you know, in Genesis 1, where we see when Adam sinned, like, he ran away from God. And that's how we as Christians, like, I don't know, for me, I feel like I want to, if I've messed up, I want to hide in the bushes somewhere from God. And we don't tend to, like, run to God, because that's His will, but it's just in our conscience that condemns us sometimes. So it says in 1 John somewhere that it's God's greater than our hearts. So even if our heart condemns us, we don't let that distract you from, like, enjoying Jesus. So it's from His side, it's all clear, it's all go. So it's, you know, God's always just, "Come to me, I'm the bread of life, come to me." He's like crying out to us, like in Hebrews 4:16 it says, like, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." Don't let anything, like what we heard this morning with Darren, but he shared on what's your confidence in here. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with us really. It's all about like what He's done for us. So that makes us like draw near boldly, because if we look at our works, either good or bad, it doesn't matter. Nothing can qualify us to come before God. Like, so that's like, I love what Darren said this morning, that the throne room should feel like our home, should feel like our living room. That's where we live. That's where we spend the most time. That's where we enjoy time in the presence of God. And that's, I believe, is our only responsibility as Christians, that we go to God and just receive, bask in His love, and then we create overflow in our life to give to other people. Like, that's really the only thing that we can do, is just receive by faith. So when we mess up, instead of going, "Oh, I'm such a failure," and we, instead of like condemning ourselves, we can just go to God and say, "Thank you for the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us from all sin," and just thank Him for His grace. So we must never allow the devil's lies to condemn us, and to kind of, like, he wants to just whip us like with guilt, shame, and condemnation and that sort of stuff, but we just have to like shut him off. You just stop being like sin conscious and Christ conscious. Like, Christ is in us and He's qualified us. And it's in Galatians 5 verse 6 where it talks about that faith works through love. So if we don't know how much we're loved by God, then our faith gets like easily shipwrecked, because then if we don't know how much we're loved, then it's harder to believe for like healing or finances or whatever you need us. But if we know that God loves us so much, then faith just rises up effortlessly in our hearts. Because I remember when I heard the gospel, like, it was so effortless. Like, I just heard the gospel and my heart just exploded. Like, I just like jumped on that truth. Like, it was when Andrew, it was like 5 years ago when I heard Andrew Womack talk about, that he said that one sentence, that God, "Oh, you can't do anything to make God love you more, and you can't do anything to make God love you less." And when I heard that, I was just like, "Oh!" I just jumped on that, and it kind of exploded in my heart, like that truth. And I believe that's the same way how God wants us to receive everything else from us. It's just we hear the gospel, and it's the gospel applied into every area, like finances, healing, everything. It's relevant to everything. It's the solution for everything. So it's the love of God. Like I said, faith works through love. So it's the love of God that makes our faith go through the roof. So wherever we have a need, we just need to believe that God loves us unconditionally, no matter what we've done. Because it's a lot of people have this religious mindset that, you know, before they were saved, they could, it was easy for them then to believe that God loves them. But now, like I said, like it's harder for people to believe that when once they're in the family of Christ, it's sometimes like we still mess up because our mind isn't quite renewed yet or something. So that's when we need to stand even stronger in God's grace and just believe that it's His work, it's not ours. Because it's some churches do outreach and they get people saved. And then once they're in the church, it seems like more it's a process of getting them cleaned up, polish them up, make them look good and all of that. But that's not God's heart for us. I'm going to read Colossians 2:6 again, the Living Bible. So now, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. So I love how that also talks about relationship with God. It's the union. We have to realize that we're one with Christ and there's no more separation, even if our feelings don't agree with that sometimes. So it's really like, how you received Jesus? But like I shared, it should be just like you received Jesus. That's how we should receive everything else, just effortlessly. And not allow the devil to put us back under condemnation. If we turn over to 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. So that's Paul to Timothy. It's, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So that's also like Paul just saying, like, be strong in the grace. There's, you know, we need to be, just, we go over to Ephesians 6 quickly. That's pretty much saying the same thing. It says in Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6 verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So to me, that's pretty much saying the same thing. Like, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So again, that talks about His might, His power in us. It's got nothing to do with our power. You know, I used to think that, oh, gotta be strong in the Lord. And it's more like a beat your chest, get up, like, pick yourself up and just go for it. But it's really like, it's nothing. It's just drawing on His grace in us. It's not in our works. And a lot of people don't associate grace with being strong. Like, they think that it's just the card that you pull out once you've messed up or something. But it's really like what Paul's saying here is in 2 Timothy. It's that, you know, Timothy was going through some like really challenging times. So he wasn't like stuck in sin, but he was trying to overcome like challenging circumstances. So that's another thing where we need to draw on God's grace. It's not just to get it, to overcome sin or anything, but it's also to overcome challenging circumstances. So like in Zimbabwe, when we were on mission, like I thought that was a good, where we needed to draw on God's grace because there was just a lot of stuff going on. So that's always good to realize that even then it's God's grace in us that allows us to do stuff. It's never in our power. Paul said, it's by God's grace that I am who I am. Even he had all this training, all this, you know, he was trained in all the law and everything. But even he said, it's only by grace that I am who I am. He wasn't even wasn't listing his qualifications or anything. He said that counts for nothing. Like, it's only God's grace that can equip us and train us to be to be all that God's called us to be. So grace is really nothing weak, but it's God's power in us. It's like that dynamite power in us, so it's anything but weak. So our true strength is when we realize that it's not about us, but it's all about drawing on God's grace, never on our own power. Now it says in Zechariah 4 verse 6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So it's also that, like, draw on Holy Spirit power in you. And in Genesis we see that, you know, trusting in self is really the beginning of where everything went pear-shaped. Like, it was Eve thought like she was missing out. She thought she had to look out for herself, and Adam as well. I mean, I think, yeah, I'm not putting the blame on Eve. Like, I think, unless you stone me, I believe that Adam was probably standing right next to Eve, and he wasn't protecting her. He was failing his role, like Etienne shared, like, we as men should lead, we should protect and all of that, and Adam was just, like, not doing anything about it. So it was, so them both, they should have really just relied on God, but it's fine. It's not a big deal, but so grace is for every Christian. Like, it's not just for the ones that have sinned badly. It's not just for people like Darren, but it's for all of us. So we all have to. But it's no matter, like, if you have a good past, if you have a bad past, like, it doesn't matter. We all need God's grace. And, you know, when I struggled, like, with condemnation a lot in the past, like, because of things that I'd done, like, and I thought, that's so, like, I just felt this on my heart to you, like, because I know it's a big problem, like, in general, in the body of Christ, like, with condemnation, like, condemnation kills. And so I felt, like, I'm quite passionate about that. Like, when I see that in Christians, like, it's not, we need to be careful that we never, like, no matter what it is, we can't allow those thoughts to come in and dominate our lives. We need to, like, shut the door to it, and no matter what it is, like, we need to draw on God's grace, and we need to, like it says, we need to put on that armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, and all of the other equipment. And that's funny, because I've always loved guns. It's quite random now, but when I grew up, I always loved guns, and I still do. It's probably my favorite hobby, and it's so random, and I felt like, God, I feel so ungodly, kind of. It's not like I'm angry or anything. I don't feel rage or anything. So it's kind of, why do I love guns so much? And then until I realized that he was actually trying to teach me that I need to learn to wear my armor in Christ, I need to learn how to defend myself against those thoughts. I need to stand strong in His grace, and I believe that's a word for someone here as well. Kuni took me to a gun store here in South Africa, and that felt like a glimpse of heaven to me. Because in the UK, it's quite hard to get guns unless. Unless you know someone who knows someone, but, but yeah. So, oh yeah, and we were watching Saving Private Ryan on Friday evening. I'm sure most of you will have seen it, but there was this one scene that really got me. Like, it was near the end of the movie, but there's this one soldier who's got this, you know, he's a bit of a, like, he's, it's so painful to watch, and I was really, like, getting quite agitated with him. Like, he was such a, like, just a coward, yeah. But he was, he had all this, like, he had his rifle, he had the ammo belt around his neck, like, he looked like, ready and equipped to go, but he was just refusing to fight. He was just hiding, and he even had a good old cry on the battlefield at some point. But and it was so frustrating, and I think me and Kuni were at the same kind of revelation that's like how many Christians are. Like, we're all equipped, we're all ready to go, but then when it comes time to fight, we're just like, oh, what's happening, Lord? And, like, we break down and cry, and And that really spoke to me, actually, that scene. Like, we need to know how to use our armor. Because it's, yeah, otherwise the devil will eat our lunch and pop the bag. So, yeah, so getting back to Romans 5, so none of us deserved salvation, going back to that, and that we didn't earn it, it came as a free gift. And remember that one guy in Zim that we ministered to, we were on a street, like evangelism outreach. So there was this one guy standing on the corner, and I went up to him, and I was trying to minister to him, and he was, so I was like starting a conversation and all of that, and he was very, like, very apprehensive. So I thought, I shared with him that it's the gift of righteousness that gets us into heaven. So I asked him, what's your thoughts on how will you go to heaven if you die tonight? So I went kind of barging in. So I thought I'll start with that question, because that sorts out kind of where it makes you realize where the people are at. So he said, he was kind of going in the direction of good works and like that sort of thing. So when I told him about that, it's actually the gift of righteousness that gets us into heaven, like, he got quite upset. Like, he looked at me like I'm crazy, but so it was more like, surely it can't be that easy. So and in the end we had to kind of leave him, because he just wasn't receiving it. But it was kind of hard, and it made me realize that it does sound quite offensive to many people, like the simplicity of the cross, that it's really unearned, because the wisdom of the world tells us, like, we need to earn it, we need to work for it. And it's the same with love. Like, love is so messed up in the world, like, it's so twisted, and it's the same, so it's hard for people to receive the love of God, that there's nothing behind it, there's no hidden agenda, there's nothing that God wants from us, He simply wants to love on us, and it's very hard for people to receive. But it's the simplicity of the cross. Mm-hmm. If we go to Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And then verse 9, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So that, again, that's something where, like Andrew says, like, you really need someone to help you misunderstand that. So it's really, if we don't get the Bible, get in the way with our theology. Like, it's but it's, I guess if you, those people grew up quite traditionally, so it's harder. Like that guy that we shared the gospel with, like, it wasn't getting through. So it's very, like, hard for some to receive. But if we really, we really believe this, that we are really saved by grace through faith, then this will lead to us experiencing the rest that it talks about, Hebrews 4. You know, then we're entering into the rest. If we're done with our own works, with our own striving, if we realize that we really don't have to beg God, we don't have to plead with God. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. Those of you who have kids, like, I don't have kids yet, praise God, but so for those of you that have kids, like, I don't know, I'm sure none of you want your kids kind of coming up to you, like, crawling on the floor, like, pleading and begging with you for stuff. And it's, I don't know where we get this from, like, that God is that way. Like, Jesus said, if you who are evil give good gifts to your children, like, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? But, so He's the giver of good gifts, so I don't know where we get this from, that He's, like, I don't know, it's twisted, but, yeah, let's go back to Romans 5. So there's, let's skip down to Romans 5:17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." And so that's talking about that as we receive abundance of grace, we will reign in life through Jesus. So that really got me stirred up that God actually wants us to reign in life over circumstances. So that again, that's not the, what I said before, you know, the striving, you know, pumping your chest and like getting after it. But it says by receiving the abundance of grace, that's how we reign in life. So so that really got me thinking about, you know, what's your vision for life? God wants us to reign in life. So what are we reigning for? What are we reigning? Is it just the finances, or God wants us to expand His kingdom here on earth? So I thought that's really cool to think about, like what God wants us to reign. God wants us to reign. So it's not just to get our own like finances sorted and healing and all of that, but it's actually for a greater purpose. Like we want to impact the world. And that's what I love about this church. Like it's purpose driven. It's not just Holy Heart or Social Club, but we need to get the gospel out. So it's more than just reigning in life so we get our own needs met. It's, you know, in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says that we are, let's read it quickly. Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So it talks about that God gives us the power to get wealth, so that He may establish His covenant. So we're blessed to be a blessing. So our wealth is here to make an impact in the world. It's not just just so we have enough, but it's more that God wants us to have more than enough so we can impact the world for the gospel. So God doesn't want us to be saved and stuck until we get to heaven, but we're on a mission here on earth. You know, the Great Commission, God wants us to make disciples, and that's what how he wants us to reign in life. He wants us to reign in life so we can have an impact in this world. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168. Or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.